Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1826, with a release date of August 10, 2012, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Curiosity is now on Mars, and there may be a way to hear its signal. Hams respond to a massive power outage in India. BPL is once again a problem in the UK. And guess who is thinking of running for Congress? Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1826, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jeff Clark, K8JAC.
Want to try your hand at some truly out-of-this-world DX listening? With a successful landing of NASA's rover Curiosity on Mars, some hams are thinking of trying to catch signals from the new rover directly, or those from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter circling the red planet. Is this possible? Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, takes a look at the communications aspect of the mission.
Thanks to some research by the Southgate News, it turns out that the Curiosity rover transmits on frequencies around 401 megahertz, but the transponder on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, or MRO, has a CCS-DS forward frequency in the 437 megahertz amateur satellite service band. This is because 435 to 438 megahertz is shared with the military, and 432 to 438 megahertz is also a space surveillance radio band. In fact, general space usage extends beyond that. So how does it all work? Well, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has a UHF transponder known as Melicom that operates between 401 to 437 megahertz. It also has a pair of patch antennas to communicate with any landed asset on Mars' surface supporting the CCSDS Proximity 1 protocol. And with it all working the way it has through this mission, signals from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter are being received back on Earth. While NASA's Deep Space Network has no problem in hearing the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the question might be if a ham radio station with its simple equipment might be able to do the same. If you want to give it a try, there are two papers from NASA that might be of assistance. The first describes the operation of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. It can be found at tinyurl.com/MRO-operations. The other is titled Mars Express and the NASA Landers and Rovers on Mars, Sustaining a Backup Relay in an Interplanetary Network. Its URL is tinyurl.com/spacecommunications. Both of these documents are in Adobe PDF format. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
If you're successful in hearing either the lander or the orbiter, please be sure to record any audio you hear, along with the story of how you accomplished it. We'll be happy to share it with our listeners worldwide. Back here on Earth, ham radio was called out after the world's worst blackout in recent times cut power to 700 million people in India on July 31st. VE2JAU is the National Coordinator for Disaster Communication in India. He reports that the Northeast grid failed due to a fault in the plant, and 20 states were affected by the power failure. VU2JAU said that hams in and around the affected areas provided emergency communications during the outage. He says that all voice repeaters in the areas hit by the blackout remained in operation despite the heavy-duty backup power that was required. Up to 20 of India's 28 states were plunged into darkness as suppliers failed to meet the growing load caused by heavy demand. The blackout halted hundreds of trains, took out traffic lights, and caused surgical procedures to be canceled. Several miners were trapped underground when their elevators failed. The blackout raised concern about India's infrastructure. Delegates representing their amateur radio emergency communications service, national societies, or clubs are being invited to submit proposals, information papers, and reports. This for the 8th Global Amateur Radio Emergency Conference, or GAREC, which will be held November 12th through the 14th at Port Dickson, Malaysia. Of primary interest will be information regarding the activities of any given group in regard to any emergency or disaster relief operations that may have actively participated from September 2011 onwards. The closing deadline of submission to the GAREC Secretariat is this coming September 31. Documents should be submitted electronically in Microsoft Word format to secretariat@mygarec2012.com. a major coup for a relatively new ham radio emergency communications radio group. This is the United Nations Economic and Social Council, known by the acronym UNESCO, adopts the recommendation of the Committee on Non-Governmental Organizations to grant special consultative status to the International Radio Emergency Support Coalition, a group better known by its initials of IRESC. For those who may have never heard of it, the IRESC bills itself as a global coalition of volunteer communicators, with dedicated members spread around the world, providing assistance to those in need at all times of the day or night. The main objectives are to foster efficient collaboration between radio amateurs, extending friendships across the world, and providing international emergency communication in times of need when all else fails. Currently, the IRESC has members in at least 40 countries. Most are also affiliated with national organizations such as the International Red Cross, the Salvation Army, groups in the UK and Israel, local amateur radio clubs, and many other groups the world over. The decision to grant the IRESC this status was made at a recently concluded UNESCO session held in July. More about this important milestone for the IRESC can be found online at www.irescintl.com. Broadband over power line, called PLT in Europe, is once again raising its noise-generating head, and that's of special concern to ham radio operators in the UK. Now, the Radio Society of Great Britain's issued a statement expressing grave concern at what it calls the continuing headlong rush to legitimize high levels of emission from various broadband over power line devices. This in direct contravention of the essential requirements of the nation's EMC directive. You can read the full statement on the RSGB website at rsgb.org. Simply click on Update on Draft PLT Standard. Radio Amateurs of Canada has announced that as of September 1, its current Ontario section will be replaced by four new sections. These are Ontario North, East, South, and the Greater Toronto Area. A map depicting the new section boundaries is available for viewing at tinyurl.com/Ontario-new. Meanwhile, word that the American Radio Relay League's already recognized the four new sections. They'll be effective for the ARRL November sweepstakes contest. Radio Amateurs of Canada adds that several vendors of logging and contest software have also announced changes to coincide with the new makeup of the Ontario sections. Unfortunately, some of these will not be available or effective until January 2013. Two European National Amateur Radio Societies are teaming up to give young people a chance to find out what ham radio is all about firsthand. Called Youngsters on the Air, from Belgium and the Netherlands 2012, many young radio amateurs from nine different European countries will be participating in contesting, direction-finding competitions, a field day-like operation, and more. Youngsters on the Air will be held the week of August 19th through the 26th at a location in Belgium adjacent to the Dutch border. The sponsors are Belgium's UBA Youth Commission and the Dutch National Amateur Radio Society, VEROM. For more information, contact Tommy DeGrand, ON3TD, by email to tommy@uba.be. Lisa Linders, PA2LS, to PA2LS@veron.nl. The long-anticipated CY9M St. Paul Island de-expedition, forced to go QRT earlier than expected at the request of their transport ship skipper due to a forecast of poor weather conditions. As a result, they departed from St. Paul at about 1900 UTC on July 31. The good news is that in the short 4.5 days of operating, the team made over 33,000 QSOs. All contacts will be verified electronically via Logbook of the World once the operators return home. Those in need of paper cards should QSL Tim Beaumont, M0URX. Meanwhile, their logs are now available for viewing on Club Log, and we'll have more DX-related news later on this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W0BZN repeater serving Newton, Kansas. Another digital protocol will soon be available. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Davis, W2JKD, has details.
The Southgate News reports that the technical specification for NXDN, which is an FDMA digital voice technology supported by ICOM and Kenwood, is being opened to public domain. According to a press release, the chair of the NXDN Forum has announced that the forum's steering committee has decided to open the NXDN technological standards to the telecommunications industry. For the past 5 years, both ICOM and Kenwood have been producing VHF and UHF mobiles, handhelds, and repeaters to the NXDN standard. The equipment has been transmitting a bandwidth of 4 kHz. It's typically used in 6.25 kHz channel spacing systems. NXDN digital products are deployed throughout the world in hundreds of thousands of professional radio applications. The specification is currently available in response to an email request, but the NXDN forum indicates it will be available for direct download later this year. Interested companies can obtain the information for the NXDN technical standards by following the instructions on the forum website at www.nxdn-forum.com/instructions. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
The NXDN Forum says it will continue to accept new members after opening the technical specifications and will govern the NXDN specification and related interoperability testing and certification. The FCC says Eli Radio, licensee of KWNA AM of Winnemucca, Nevada, must pay an $11,000 fine for various tower violations. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP, has details.
The case began in 2008 when the San Francisco Office of the Enforcement Bureau originally fined Eli Radio $13,000 because its red obstruction lights were out and the licensee had not notified the Federal Aviation Administration of the outage. The commission also found that Eli had apparently and repeatedly failed to notify the FCC about a change in ownership information for the tower. In its appeal, Eli denied owning the tower and says it wasn't responsible for the structure's upkeep. As a result, the FCC sent a letter of inquiry to KWNA's former owner, Sheen Broadcasting Company. In its reply, Sheen confirmed that it was no longer a commission licensee. Sheen told the commission the company sold all of the equipment used to operate the station, including the tower, to Eli in 2006. In its appeal, Eli urged the FCC to reverse its decision, arguing that it really was a tenant, not an owner, because it leases the station building and land from Sheen. But the commission did not find that argument credible, saying in its decision that at best it appears that Eli and Sheen may have a continuing disagreement about how each of them interprets their sale agreement. That said, the FCC says that it has determined that Eli is indeed the tower owner and that it's the only licensee using the structure. It also claims that Eli's personnel actually improperly extinguished the tower lights that resulted in the fine. Because of Eli's past history of good compliance with commission rules, the agency lowered the original fine by $2,000, bringing the amount to $11,000. But it says Eli Radio must pay the fine. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Eli Radio was given the customary 30 days to pay or to file a further appeal. The World CUSO Digital Amateur Television Party takes place on Friday, August 24th and Saturday, the 25th. This year's event will involve California and Arizona in the United States, plus Australia and the British Amateur Television Club website in the UK. Here in North America, Bob Minnick, W8ARZ, and Lee Weitzel, K0CCU, both in Arizona, will use the resources of linked ATV repeaters. Also, K0CCU has Skype video of very high quality and tested through the VK3RTV digital ATV repeater. The first such CUSO party organized by Peter Cossens, VK3BFG, occurred during the centenary celebrations of Amateur Radio Victoria last year. The Northern California DX Foundation's the recipient of a $4,000 donation from the Northern California DX Club. This is said to be the largest donation ever received by the group from a club. Of late, more and more DX-oriented clubs are making donations to the Northern California DX Foundation. The organization thoroughly analyzes the financial needs of planned expeditions and helps provide critical funding to operations high on the DXers' most wanted list. It's been said that without support, many expeditions would simply not be possible. The Florida-based West Palm Beach Amateur Radio Group, Inc. has announced the start of what it calls an ambitious project to expand the WS4FSM exhibit at the South Florida Science Museum. This is an exhibit that it calls Lasting Moments of First Excitement. According to the group, the exhibit combines technology available over the Internet with the worldwide communications offered by amateur radio. This to lead to a new generation of creativity and scientific advancement. To help raise funding for the expansion, the group has launched a project on Kickstarter to take our story to the world. You can read more about it online at tinyurl.com/palm-beach-kickstarter. The West Palm Beach Amateur Radio Group bills itself as the largest amateur radio club in Palm Beach County with a history that dates back to the 1930s. More about the group is on the World Wide Web at www.wpbarc.com. Some names in the news. Former Serbian Internal Affairs Minister Ivica Dacic, YU1YU, was elected as that country's newest prime minister on July 27. Dacic is the leader of the Socialist Party of Serbia. From 2008 till his election as prime minister, he first served as deputy prime minister as well as minister of internal affairs. In March 2012, Serbia became a candidate for membership in the European Union. In the world of amateur radio, Dacic is a member of the Amateur Radio Union of Serbia, which is Serbia's IARU member society. He is said to be a member of his local club known by the call letters YU1AAV. He succeeds Mirko Cvetković, who served as Serbia's prime minister from 2008 to 2012. ARRL President K. Craigie, N3KN, has appointed James Millsap, W4NWS, of Ackworth, Georgia, appointed to the position of ARRL Southeastern Division Vice Director, effective August 1. This after former Vice Director Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, resigned because she has accepted a position outside of the division. In a message sent to members of the Southeastern Division, KG4IUM stated that while she's incredibly excited about her new career and her future, it's not come without cost. That's because her move is to be outside of the division, and she's no longer eligible to serve as vice director. Hartledge's replacement, Jim Millsap, began his ham radio career at age 12, operating 6-meter AM from Atlanta. Over the years, he served as assistant emergency coordinator for Cherokee County Amateur Radio Emergency Service since 2002, was appointed ARRL emergency coordinator in 2010, and has been the DEC for Metro Atlanta District since 2011. He was selected Georgia's Ham Radio Operator of the Year in 2010 for his volunteer work in Georgia Aries. Millsap's appointment runs until noon, January 1st, 2014. And for those of you who may not remember, Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, was the 2004 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. Norm Rashley, VE3LC, has been appointed by Radio Amateur of Canada to serve on the Canadian Interoperability Technology Interest Group, or CITIG, 700 MHz Definition Working Group. This group will help define the network architecture and technical interoperability requirements for a nationwide broadband mobile data network operating in the 700 MHz band. VE3LC is currently on the RAC Radio Advisory Board of Canada and has just completed a term as Vice President Industrial Liaison. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. An upcoming launch of 17 amateur radio satellites will also carry one with several firsts to orbit. Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, reports.
Among the birds to be lofted this November will be an innovative educational satellite built in Ecuador and known as NEE-01 Pegasus. This tiny one-unit CubeSat has a large fold-out solar array and carries a 902 megahertz, 720-line progressive scan high-definition camera and associated TV transmitter. The latter will send video of the Earth to school students in Ecuador. The NEE-01 Pegasus engineering team was led by Commander Ronnie Nader, who was Ecuador's first astronaut. The satellite was featured in the July 15 issue of Ecuador's El Mercurio newspaper. That article in electronically translated English is online at tinyurl.com/ecuador-in-space.
I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
CubeSats are tiny satellites that are economical to both build and carry to orbit, making them attractive to institutions of learning as well as to the ham radio community. A newly updated list of Portuguese analog and digital repeaters dated July 30th is available for download. These listings are displayed in the Portuguese language at tinyurl.com/BRHDBLD, courtesy of CT1FBF. The United Kingdom's National Radio Center is now officially open, this after Mr. Ed Vasey, who is Minister for Culture, Communications and the Creative Industries, officially opened the National Radio Center at Bletchley Park in Milton Keynes. After a tour of the new building and unveiling a plaque at the entrance, Mr. Vasey stated that the center will do an enormous amount to spread the knowledge about the history of radio and its continuing importance to the 21st century. The National Radio Center is open Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 11 till 16:30 local UK time. More details and photographs of the event can be found online at nationalradiocenter.com. The BBC reports that the Marconi New Street factory in the United Kingdom city of Chelmsford is to be redeveloped after being left derelict for several years. Marconi New Street was the world's first purpose-designed and built wireless factory. It was opened in June 1912 by radio pioneer Guillermo Marconi, and that's where he carried out his research work and built a large electronics and telecommunications business. It also provided housing for many of those who were employed by Marconi. According to the BBC, that business dissolved in 2006, and the building has stood empty since 2008. The new owner says that he wants to build homes, offices, shops, and community facilities at the site, which covers about 10 acres near Chelmsford City Center, but also retain and refurbish the main 1912 Marconi building for office space. Want to read the entire story? You'll find it online at tinyurl.com/Marconi-factory. NDX, the International Telecommunications Union, has updated its table of international call signs to reflect a call sign change for the island of Niue, which will now have the entire E6 prefix block. Prior to the change, the island used ZK2 as its call sign prefix. On the air, word that a team of European operators will be active as D64K from the Comoros Islands through August 20th. Their license covers from 160 through 6 meters, so they hope to be active on all bands and modes, and we're even considering the possibility of working 60 and 6 meters. They'll have 4 stations on the air using Elecraft transceivers, amplifiers, and at least 2 spider beams and several vertical antennas. The QSL manager for this operation is IV3DSH. DJ7RJ will again be active stroke FR from Reunion Island, as between September 26th and October 21st. His operation will be on 160 through 10 using CW and sideband, and he'll pay special attention to the low bands for United States and Japan. QSL direct to his home call sign. DG5LAC will be active stroke P from Amram Island beginning August 11th and through the 24th. His operation will be holiday style on 80 through 10 meters sideband. Log will be uploaded to Logbook of the World in EQSL when he returns home. QSL via his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. A team of Saudi operators will activate Aldara Island as 7Z7AB between October 5 through the 11th. More details and a web page will be forthcoming. Meanwhile, you can see their logo on QRZ.com. Lastly, listen out for an all-YLD expedition to be active as GB2YLS from Fair Isle between August 16 and the 22nd. Their activity will be on the HF bands using CWN sideband. They also plan to be operational as an entry in the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, scheduled for August 18th and 19th, from the Fair Isle South Lighthouse, QSL via MM5YLO, either direct or through the Bureau. And finally this week, famed rock guitarist Joe Walsh, WV6ACU, has joked about running for political office since way back in 1980. That's when he ran a tongue-in-cheek campaign for the presidency. Well, now it appears as if Joe has decided to take politics more seriously. And according to a new radio interview, he just might run for Congress. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lasek, K9BIK, has details.
In a recent discussion aired over WASH-FM in Washington, D.C., famed rock guitarist Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, said, and we quote, "I think I would run seriously, and I think I would run for Congress." Walsh went on to tell WASH that the root of the problem is that Congress is so dysfunctional. We're dead in the water until Congress gets to work and passes some new legislation to change things. Walsh believes he could represent the concerns of real people better than politicians who live in a different world to the rest of the country. He said that he thinks that if you pay attention to Congress and vote for people from where we're all from, and if we can elect people who are not politicians that are from where we're from, then he thinks we can get something done. Walsh added, and again we quote, "So I might run for Congress and see if I can stir up the hornets." Meanwhile, WB6ACU is touring his new solo album, Analog Man, at intimate venues nationwide. And of course, you can always hear his playing the opening theme at the beginning of each episode of Ham Nation on twit.tv. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Lessig, K9BIK in Zion, Illinois.
For those interested in hearing all of what WB6ACU has to say, take your web browser to ultimateclassicrock.com/Joe-Walsh-2-Run-4-Congress. Then scroll down until you see the window containing the actual interview. Click on the arrow key to make it play. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Pen, DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, this note to all of you who still receive these newscasts over our 661-296-2407 dial-in telephone line, rather than downloading the MP3 file from our website. Lately, we've noticed a major decline in the number of those calling into it, and as such, we're giving consideration to discontinuing it by year's end. But before we do, we want to know how many people are actually using and depend on the 661-296-2407 number. If you're one of those who called in each week on the phone, please send us a note telling us who you are and the reason you're using the telephone access rather than simply downloading the newscast from the Internet. Again, our address is Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Or you can email us at newsline@arnewsline.org. We look forward to hearing from you. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2012, all rights reserved.